Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we have no Sue Thomas today. She took today off for some personal business. She was actually doing some philanthropic work here in the community, so we're very proud of Sue. Plus, I think she got to take it off without taking a vacation day and taking advantage of Odyssey policy. At the bottom of the hour, Max Raskin is going to join. I love this story from New Jersey where they have this governor's race. But they still have... This is unreal that this is in America. They have gas station socialism in New Jersey. Like, you're not allowed to pump your own gas, and it's the most bizarre thing. And both of the candidates, both the Republican and the Democrat, still are supporting that. But Max wrote about it, and he's going to join us. He wrote about it in the Free Press today. Steve Ellman is with us in the studio this afternoon. He is the current St. Charles County executive. We thought he was on his way out. He had decided to not run for re-election. You have changed your mind, Steve, as so often politicians do. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, Mark. You?
I'm doing okay. I'm good. Really doing well, although I miss Sue.
Tell her I said hi when she gets back.
When we don't have the show that is complete, you know, we kind of miss one another, and I'm taking a couple of days off this week as well. This was, as I called this earlier, probably the worst-kept secret in all of Missouri politics that Steve Ellman was going to get back into this race. This has kind of been bubbling for a little while. Would you like to explain why you're running for re-election? And this would be an election that's going to take place a year from now, right?
Yeah, I guess it's a lot. The most important thing is it's a kind of a changed political landscape now compared to what it was 3 years ago when I thought, "Hey, this enough is enough." And you know, a lot of people talk about polls. The most important poll for me is the one we do every 10 years when they do the census.
Mm-hmm.
And the last census,
see the growth in St. Charles County.
The last census, the region grew 1.3%. St. Charles County grew 13%.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So
isn't
people
it?
are voting with their feet. Now, certainly, I can't take credit for all that, but I've been working with our mayors, with our county council, with the business community in St. Charles County, to make that an attractive place to raise your kids and to have a job, and every year they update the numbers and we continue to grow. So I think that's very encouraging, and I'll kind of start there. But when I look 3 years ago, I had Biden in the White House. I had people in Jefferson City that were making it difficult for me to get anything done for the county up there. And most importantly, I had to go down to East-West Gateway and work on regional issues and fight with Tashara Jones and Megan Green.
Yeah, God bless you just for surviving that, right?
It was not any fun, and it wasn't easy. And I usually ended up, I bet I lost 15 votes on a straight party line vote.
That many?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of really crazy
stuff. I'd wear
stuff
that as
going
a badge
on
of honor, Steve, personally.
I do. So anyway, now I got a man in the White House that's changing a lot of the rules when it comes to transportation, which is why we go down to East West Gateway. I've got a governor in Jeff City, who grew up in St. Louis. He
right.
knows our problems. He's going to work and try to fix some of the problems here in the region. I got two senators who are working to actually get things done. I got a good delegation in the House. And most importantly, I guess, is I also have a new mayor in the city of St. Louis. We're not going to agree on everything. But I think the two issues I care most about, which is law enforcement and the airport, I think she's somebody that will work with me, and we can actually move the ball down the field. I'm more optimistic about chances of doing things regionally now than I've been in the last 20 years.
Have you had, just because you brought up Mayor Spencer, have you had a chance recently? Because I can't even imagine, you know, she takes office and then boom, the tornado hits and it's been overwhelming. I have no criticism of Kara, because one of the things I like is that when we have national political issues that are out there, they're not blasting out news releases from City Hall. She's focusing, and we kind of knew she would be, on the city of St. Louis and not national politics.
Yes, I spoke with her several times during the election for her and afterwards, and it's a shame that she's had to concentrate on the tornado. But I, if I can tell a story, at the last
Absolutely.
East-West Gateway meeting, you know, there's a Ryan McClure, who's with the Arch to Park project. He came down and talked to us about the fact that they want to put a bigger lid over I-70.
Really?
Like they already have.
I've not even heard that.
Yeah, well, it's out there.
But
it's
why?
I don't know. It's a good question. I've got a lot of questions about it. But the first question I had for him is, well, are you going to try to get federal money?
Right.
And he said, well, we haven't yet. But yeah, we're going to go and we're going to talk to our delegation in Washington. We're going to try to get more money for this. And I asked Sam Page, who was presiding, I said, Mr. Chairman, can I inquire the mayor? And she yielded for a question. And I said, Mayor, let me just ask you this. If we could go to Washington and get this park completely paid for with federal dollars, would you consider naming it the Donald J. Trump Park?
You asked that? You troublemaker, Steve Ellman. What was the reaction
to
that?
She didn't know me that well. And for a split second, she thought I was serious.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, everybody else started laughing, and I started laughing. And I said, just think about it. You don't need to answer.
That's pretty
right
good.
Now.
That is pretty good. But you've kind of caught me off guard here with this whole lid thing. I've never heard anyone discussing that. And because obviously for those people who have not been around St. Louis, the Arch renovation used to have, and Sue, when she does traffic, she talks about what's called the depressed section, right?
Depressed.
That confuses people who aren't from St. Louis.
Yes.
But it's the area that goes underneath where the arch is. And for the longest time, that was not covered by what we refer to as a lid. When they did the arch renovations, that was part of it. But why would you want to expand the lid?
I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to. I was opposed
to
opposed to what they've done already. Not because it was a bad idea. I thought it was a good idea, but they should have used tourism dollars, not transportation dollars.
Yeah, I see.
That's transportation dollars should be spent put more lanes on I-70 in St. Charles.
Right.
Instead, we used it for the lid. Same thing with the loop trolley. I mean, I voted against the loop trolley.
Oh my God, Steve, the loop
trolley.
Not
because I thought it was a bad idea.
It was.
If you're going to do it, use tourism dollars.
Right.
Don't use transportation dollars.
So then when it comes to the problem, man, I have gone a couple of weeks now in the last 5 weeks to Columbia for football games.
Yeah.
And it had been a little bit since I'd been on the road through, you know, 6440 to I-70 and then the rest of what's going on. I had seen a lot of the construction on the I-70 expansion that was closer to mid-Missouri, you know, past past Fulton, if you will, or, you know, 54. But, I mean, you got a lot going on right now in St. Charles County on this project, right?
Yeah, we do. And this week they were going to start cutting down trees so they can do the actual railroad bridge. I called them a couple weeks ago because they were working on everything but the railroad bridge. And they said, I said, what's the problem?
Yeah.
You know what the problem was?
No.
They had to wait till October 15th to cut down trees because they didn't want to interfere with the breeding habits of the Indiana bat.
You have got to be kidding me.
No, I am not kidding you.
See, this is the kind of stuff.
If I had the president's ear, that would be the.
Oh my
gosh.
That
would be one thing I'd tell him. Hey, go fix
that. Is the bat okay? It's unreal. You know, I mentioned this earlier on the show, and you are exposed to this all the time, and I don't mean to be repetitive, but I have this little, if Sue is here, she'd be making fun of me. I have this little project that is near my home in St. Louis County. I live kind of on the border of Jeffco in St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. It's out near 141 and 44. Paradise Valley Golf Course is back there, mm-hmm. and I live across from that. So there's this little road called Hillsborough Road. We call it Twisty Turny. Well, they've had the damn thing closed down since. It's a disaster. Valley Park has screwed this up, and we're all thousands of people inconvenienced, not just me. But I bring it up because I was poking around in the spring and I wanted to know how the money was being spent, right? So the guy, Nathan from Valley Park, who's been relatively receptive, he sends me the contracts, all this stuff. And I start making the mistake of reading through this language, Steve, and the boxes, the DEI stuff, the minority contract, all the, I don't know how you get any project off the ground. When I read, I'll tell you who does well, the damn lawyers. It's the lawyers who are winning here because they have to write up all that language and then people are supposed to interpret it and hire accordingly, right?
The equity thing at East-West Gateway has been my biggest headache, okay? I'm for equal opportunity, but I think one person driving in a car is equal to another person
right.
driving in a car. Well, you know, during the Biden years, they actually had, in their DEI stuff, we had to look at how we treat communities of people, not individuals. And we had to have equal results for disadvantaged neighborhoods.
Right. Of course you did.
Okay?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, all this stuff, it's just the thing I'm most proud about being American and what we've achieved in the last generation or two is creating a meritocracy, okay, where people like me, whose parents were not well-educated, you know, could get a good education and could move forward, and based on merit. But what are we doing now? We are actually sending more money to the city because back in 1960 they built I-44 through the Ville and they destroyed that neighborhood. So we now owe them some kind of reparations. Based on transportation dollars
right.
for what happened back then?
That's what we're hearing.
It's crazy.
Right? Yeah, it is. So let's get back to Steve Elman here. He's the St. Charles County executive. He announced today that he is re-entering the race. And here is, we got to be a little honest here about some of this stuff because I call balls and strikes. But former State Senator Bill Eigel, who I think it would be an understatement to say is a bit of a rabble-rouser, right? Had some moments in Jeff City that were interesting the past few years. He is running in this race for St. Louis County Executive. So he, St. Charles County Executive. So he issues a statement saying St. Charles County needs bold conservative leadership to prevent the economic stagnation that has become standard with Steve Elman in recent years. Property taxes have never been higher. Soulless apartment complexes are turning St. Charles into St. Louis City 2.0, and corporations are vying for natural resources for the data centers and getting rich off city-driven special tax abatements at the expense of the people. All the while, Steve Elman has been sleeping, literally sleeping. That's what he says. Steve promised he would retire and let a new generation of energetic conservative leadership guide our country after he's held that office for more than 20 years. I intend to hold Steve to his commitment on retirement. And I guess he puts a picture in here of the meeting last night, which he claims you were sleeping.
Well, I can show you the text from my wife that I checked.
At that very time?
At that time, and I was looking down at my phone, yeah.
So what I've said,
But here, more importantly, Mark, you know, taxes, we haven't raised property taxes in St. Charles County since I've been there, and we get zero property tax for our general fund. Only 5.6% of our total revenue comes from property taxes, and we were the only people in St. Charles County who actually froze the personal property taxes for
the last three years. Yeah. So where does the majority of the money come from then?
In our case, the majority of money comes from sales taxes.
Okay.
And, you know, thank God we've had a great economy, and we continue to under our president now. And as long as we have a good economy, we don't need property taxes, and we'll keep looking for ways to get rid of the property taxes that we're doing now.
But if we're being honest here, one of the reasons you're getting into this race is because you don't want Bill Eigel to run St. Charles County. I mean, isn't that a fair assessment?
You may think that I couldn't possibly comment.
Why? I mean, that's what it is.
Because this is,
but
this
Steve,
is
a... come on, come on. That's what I mean. I know Bill. We a lot of us know Bill, right? And one of the things that I said when I've made this comment a couple of times when there was a Twitter exchange with Senator Igel a couple of years ago, someone was like, "Get in the hell, Bill." And I understand people want to fight, but what I said was, as long as I've known Bill, he has given him hell, right? But I don't know what he's actually accomplished. So he was an obstructionist in the Senate. I think that personally, I don't know much. I'm just a guy who talks on the radio. This is a little bit of a different skill set to run an entire county and be the executive. But, I mean, Mike Elam was going to run for this race. He's now pulling out because he's going to defer to you. He always said that if you were going to be in the race. But that's a big reason, isn't it?
Well,
you can say yes, Mark. Yeah. You're right. You can just make some news today. Come on,
you
man.
Know, it's. I'd like to talk about my qualifications and not start on the very first day criticizing, and you know. But the fact is, there's a real difference in styles between Bill Igel and myself, and you know, there's conflicts all over the place in politics. I try to avoid conflicts with other Republicans. Bill seems to treasure conflicts with other Republicans. That gets him a lot of coverage,
a lot of attention.
I could get a lot of attention if I fought with our people on our council. You know, we don't agree with everything all the time. And of course, in St. Louis County, they fight all the time. And so a lot of people know a lot more about their council members and know a lot more about their county executive. But we tend to, even though we don't agree, we'll work things out and we'll come out and we'll be together. That's why the big difference here is I love conflict, but not with other Republicans. I enjoy the conflict we have with the progressive Democrats in the city that I've been talking about, who want to defund the police, who want to go ahead and give away transportation dollars based on race. So those are the people I've been fighting and trying to avoid the inner party fighting that's been going on elsewhere.
Well, let me ask though. Steve Ellman's here, St. Charles County Executive. One thing that I've heard from people outside of Bill Igel, and he mentions it in the release, and I want your take on this. Look, I moved to St. Louis in 1979. I remember I had a friend of mine who worked at a little video store in St. Charles County. I mean, there's nothing there, right? You've seen the growth. People from this area have seen how much it's exploded over the years, and it's been enviable, I think, to the region in particular. But you know, I have heard people say, look, one of the reasons that we love this area is because there's more of a rural feel to it. There is an opinion that because of the growth, there has been too many apartments and things like that moved in and perhaps destroyed some of the rural parts of St. Charles. I've heard that from people. What's your reaction to that? Because with growth, you have infrastructure issues, and then there's people that don't want as much growth because of the aesthetics, et cetera.
That is the second thing that you brought up about apartments. I've been around for 20 years, and St. Charles County has not approved an apartment complex in that entire time. There's too many apartments, I agree, but they've been approved by cities. They are within
the county. Yeah,
yeah, and
yeah,
he's,
yeah, yeah.
If
that's
he becomes
a difference.
County executive, he's not going to be able to keep the cities from doing apartments, but we haven't been doing those apartments. He talked about data centers. Well, the data center controversy was the city of St. Charles.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Not St. Charles County. Okay, so, you know, there's things he may not like, but they're not going to be things that you can affect as the county executive.
Sounds like Zoran Mamdani in rent control in New York City. I mean, that's exactly, he's promising all these things that he simply can't do.
Well, the same thing was true of some of the things he tried to do in Jefferson City. I'm all for trying to do something about property taxes, but you can't affect property taxes by being county executive except the small amount that we do. If you want to affect county property taxes in St. Charles County, run for a school board.
Yeah.
Run for the ambulance district. Run for a fire district, because those are the people who actually set the property tax rates.
We have a big one in Rockwood coming up next week, and you know, it's Prop S, and it's a pretty significant. It's a 45-cent increase to the levy. I've made it clear, and I'll just say it again here. I'm voting for it because I have a 10-year-old daughter in Rockwood. I'm worried about teacher retention. It's a pretty big hike, right? So I've had neighbors who have approached me and said, look, and I've admitted, Steve, look, if I didn't have a child in the district right now, would I be supporting it? Maybe I wouldn't be, because I do think that there's resource allocation issues, et cetera. I'm most concerned about teacher retention. I love my daughter's school, and I'm, you know, I've made the personal decision to vote for it. I'm not so sure it's going to pass, though, because there is that anti-tax sentiment out there.
Well, I used to be a teacher in Rockwood, so
I don't remember that. I do remember that. That's right.
I left there and went back to law school, and
so you were a teacher before you went to law school.
Ended up being a politician instead of an educator.
What were you teaching?
I was teaching history.
Okay.
Yeah, and coaching basketball.
And you, I didn't know that. That's right. Look at that. All right. Well, listen, thanks for coming in person. The race, you're off and running, right? You'll have
off
a primary
and,
in August, and then, you know, will there be a Democrat even on the ballot?
I don't know.
We'll you don't care either, do you?
We'll see. No, I think the issue will be decided in August.
How's our friend Kevin Killeen, who you swiped from Odyssey St. Louis and KMOX, and he's one of your press people?
He's doing great. He's great at what he does.
But you know what? We miss him, and I invoked his name. I was telling you this during the break. I really mean this, and you can share this with Kevin. You know, we're losing some longtime media people here in St. Louis that really held, or at least in theory, were holding people's feet to the fire. Reddy Knott, obviously, what happened. Pertzborn, good people who've been, you know, great members of the media for decades here in St. Louis. And that does not, you know, sit well with me just because you have newbies that are coming in that just want to, you know, have social media presence and not really do any investigative reporting.
Kevin is loved by his colleagues, but he's not loved by all the politicians in the region. I can tell you that.
I believe that.
He does ask the tough questions, and he doesn't let you skirt it.
No, he doesn't.
He does the follow-up, too.
He's got that Kevin Killeen style. Steve Ellman, great to see you. Thank you so
much.
Mark. All right, take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW. Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Audio cut of the day coming up. Also, Max Raskin, who is an adjunct professor at NYU. He caught my attention because he wrote today on the free press, FP.com, about the gas station socialism that still occurs in New Jersey. And I always find this to be fascinating, that we live in a country with all these freedoms. And one of the reasons, and I've said this over the years, I love Missouri, and I've lived in Illinois, I've lived in the People's Republic of Wisconsin, and I've lived here in Missouri longer than any other place. I moved here when I was 14, went to Mizzou, stayed in Columbia, went to Wisconsin, came back in 2006. I love being a Missourian because I love freedom. I love the fact that we don't get into, for the most part, this has changed just a little bit, into the nanny state nonsense that Illinois has and California and all these left-wing states. So I appreciate freedom. I think that we can do things responsibly. I'm a little bit more libertarian, conservative in that particular area. But I love the fact that, you know, that we do have so many freedoms. And I think that there is a couple of things that happen in this country, and I mentioned my time in Wisconsin, that are just so opposite of what freedom in America should be. And that situation in New Jersey certainly represents that. And we'll get into that with Max here in just a couple of minutes. This is an interesting story. I haven't really talked about this today. We thought about getting Chris Klemm on the show, who is a former border control agent, border patrol agent in the Yuma sector of Arizona. Chris is awesome. He's really a good expert on this. But this was one of the stories, and I'm not sure if people have heard about it today, that there was a big shakeup with the leadership at Immigration and Customs Enforcement. A lot of people who were in the leadership have been removed. The current official, according to the, you always have to kind of wonder about an Associated Press story, but the AP says the current official, who is not authorized to speak publicly on the matter and spoke on the condition of anonymity, said 12 ICE field office directors, the officers who run the network of field offices around the country responsible for immigration enforcement, were being reassigned. So here's Tom Homan, who's running ICE. Here's what he says.
Look, personnel changes happens a lot. These are changes being, I'm not sure they've actually been in place, and I'm not sure how many this is affecting, but Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem has total authority over ICE and who serves in what positions. So, you know, I think the results speak for themselves. I think we're not going to be slowed down by any story about changes in leadership. I can tell you that Trump administration is dedicated to achieving a record deportation, vast majority being criminal aliens, making this country safer every day. But as far as personnel changes, that's under the purview of the Secretary of Homeland Security.
So you have 25 field offices around the country. That's about half of the top staffers that were, you know, carrying out the instructions from the president. Look, I'm with Tom Homan. You got people out there that, you know, aren't responding to the orders, and maybe you were there from a previous administration and you're not on board with what's happening right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams.
at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now Sue Thomas off today. She will be back tomorrow. I'm taking a couple of days off for Thursday and Friday of this week, and we'll be back on Monday. But just as a programming note, I think Brad Young's going to be here on Thursday. Mike Elam, who was going to run for St. Charles County Executive and pulled out today because of what we just spoke with Steve about, he will be here on Friday afternoon. He'll handle the rear and round table. We might get Kilmeade tomorrow. A couple other things I know Fred is working on, and then we'll have a Wednesday edition of Sue's News as well. So I read something in the FP.com, the Free Press, today that every time I think about the situation, I think we forget some of the rules in different states. I mentioned when I was in Wisconsin, it was baffling to me. That's why I call it the People's Republic of Wisconsin, that you had restrictions. And we did used to have these in St. Louis with the blue laws, right, where you couldn't buy alcohol on Sundays or whatever. I was in an airport in one of the Carolinas a few years ago, and I don't drink, but my wife was about to have a beer, but it wasn't quite noon or whatever the rules were. And I live in America where there's freedom, and I hate stuff like that. In Pennsylvania, they basically have state control of the liquor stores. Utterly. I mean, there could not be something more non-American than that. Unless you go to New Jersey where you can't pump your own gas. And Max Raskin is here. He wrote about this in the Free Press today, and it caught my attention because I just think that this is so crazy whenever I cover stories like this. Max, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
So this is one of those things that here in the Midwest we're reminded of, you know, like when someone like you writes about it or it's in the news, and it just makes our brains hurt that there's a policy. And you'll have to kind of run me through what specifically this allows for and doesn't allow for right now, that you, and I think this also happens in Oregon, if I'm not mistaken, that you're not allowed to pump your own gas, or do you have the ability in New Jersey to do that, but you also have the ability for someone like 40 years ago to come and fill your tank for you?
No. So you can't pump your own gas in New Jersey. You're basically committing a crime if you do that. And the gas station owner is committing a crime. So, you know, you're mentioning that every state sort of has its own quirky laws. You know, we call ourselves, it's a 50-50 laboratories of democracy. And sometimes the laboratories get it wrong. And this is like clearly a case where it's just an absurd regulation. You mentioned that Oregon had it, but Oregon got rid of it a couple years ago.
Okay.
And like nothing, you know, I was going to say the state didn't go up in flames, but it did go up in flames, but I guess for different reasons.
Yeah, that's true.
But not because they legalized being able to pump your own gas. But yeah, in New Jersey, we've had this since 1949, and it's just it's a bizarre, weird thing.
Now, one of the things that caught my attention is you said that because you have a governor's race out there in New Jersey, right? And both the Republican and the Democrat think this is still a good idea? That's what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's sort of like, there's all these bumper stickers that say, like, Jersey girls don't pump their own gas. It's like a cultural heritage. And people, I've gotten some pushback in the article. People who are otherwise very rational, very thoughtful economists wrote me and say, I don't care. I don't want to pump my own gas. And I said, well, what if, you know, you can save a couple, you know, the reporting looks like it's, you could save 20 cents a gallon up to, or 23 cents a gallon by not having someone else pump your own gas. They say, we don't care. This is just this quirky thing that is a part of our cultural heritage. And, you know, my point is, you know, you should be allowed to, have someone else pump your gas, but it shouldn't be mandatory. You know, that doesn't sound right to me.
Professor, it's bizarre. It sounds anti-American. By the way, yeah, I'm fine. And we used to have a couple of stations, I don't think we have them around here, where you could full in, you know, and I'm old enough to remember full service gas stations, or at least partially full service when I was a young kid growing up in Chicago. But whenever I'm reminded of this situation in New Jersey, and then you tell me that people still support it, and maybe I understand a little bit of the cultural stuff, it's just so anti-American. It seems the opposite of freedom.
The one thing I would just push back on a little bit is it's actually not so anti-American when you look at the history of this country. You know, since about the progressive era, a little bit before, groups, there's nothing more American than special interest groups lobbying the government to get benefits on their behalf.
Well, that's true.
You see it, whether it's the Pure Food and Drug Act and the FDA or the Federal Reserve. We just love to stop competition by and frame it that we're doing something good for society when in reality you're just entrenching special interests. And that was exactly the case here.
Yeah.
In the 40s, there was this one guy who wanted to sell gas a little bit cheaper, and the gas cartel, they actually shot up his gas station on Route 17 in Hackensack, and he had to install bulletproof glass, but he was like determined to stick it out. And they decided, listen, we can't get him through going through violence, so instead we'll do the next best thing. We'll go to Trenton, we'll go to our state capital, and pass a law against him. And that's been the situation since 1949, unfortunately.
So are there groups that are involved, or anyone that is trying to make the case that this is insanity and this should go away, or not? Is that just kind of one of those things that we're just going to accept?
There are groups who care about this, but like as you could imagine, they're not, you know, this is not like... This issue doesn't attract the most sane, normal people. It attracts weird professor types and people who want to open up new gas stations. This isn't something that, you know, really affects people's lives in a deep way. But and so, you know, it's going to stay around because it's, you know, there's the costs here are really diffuse. But the benefits to the people who, you know, the benefits to the regulated entities are big. And the real reason people write these articles and people bring up these points is that, you know, if we can't change something as silly as this, how are we ever going to be able to tackle the bigger issues in our economy? When you talk about entitlements, when you talk about the pharmaceutical industry, when you talk about big entrenched lobbies in America, if we can't even tackle this small one, how are we going to tackle this one?
I believe that is the specific definition of a rhetorical question, Professor Raskin, because I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, did you hear my reference? Because this is always crazy, and I was trying to Google this, and I don't know what the current state of this is. But in Pennsylvania, they have these weird rules when it comes to liquor, if I remember correctly. Like, the state basically runs the sale of alcohol. Now, I think you can get beer at, like, stores and stuff like that, but that's another one of those things where, are you kidding me? What country are we in?
Yeah, I mean, so that I'm going to push back a little bit on. I mean, I don't mean to push back on you. You seem like you're totally right about everything except for these.
Usually I am. Usually I am. Yes, yes. Thank you for acknowledging that.
But,
yes.
So blue laws basically prevent certain stores from being open on different days of the Sabbath. And I think it was, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think it was 1896. The Supreme Court ruled, and I'm not wrong. I'm almost certain I'm right, that these laws are a sort of definite part of the fabric of America, and each state should be allowed to make the kind of decisions for its populace that they want. And so, I might not like that. You know, Nevada allows gambling, but you know, Utah doesn't allow it. And so, through the kind of process, the market process, you'll have people moving to states, and they'll behave better or worse. And so, you know, there are certain things that might not be market, you know, might not be total free market, like Sunday closing laws and things like that. But, you know, we tolerate a little bit of that because we believe that, not everything has to be, you know, a pure libertarian paradise. As long as there's like a right of exit, as long as people are allowed to move to different states and we protect some certain fundamental rights, then certain things that you might not like you might say, Pennsylvania, I don't like that you guys have these Sunday closing laws. So, you know, I'm going to live in Missouri, you know?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't call it Missouri unless I lived in a rural area. There's a little rule against that. But no, I understand your point. And, you know, I think even when I welcomed you into the segment, I said, you know, I declared my love of Missouri because I do appreciate the freedoms that we have compared to an Illinois right across the river or when I lived in Wisconsin or California. So there is appreciation for that. And I do understand your point about, you know, the choices that people make for sure. It's just that, you know, when you're used to things, I look at it like from my days in Wisconsin where you have, and St. Louis was like this for a long time too before we lost Anheuser-Busch, but you know, you got a beer town, you're encouraging people basically to drink, and you couldn't get off of a late shift if you lived in Milwaukee and go to the store and you know, buy alcohol. You could go to a bar and buy it from behind the counter. It was just bizarre. And some of these things, you know, as you kind of pointed out, they go way back in history and just maybe have never been adjusted. And we do evolve. That's why I kind of encourage people to take a more libertarian look at some of these issues from time to time, Professor. But you were a great guest, and you made some awesome points, even though, as you acknowledged, I'm usually right. But thanks for jumping on here in St. Louis with me. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Awesome. That's Max Raskin, who is an adjunct professor at NYU. I guess maybe a lot of times I'm kind of caught off guard by the reaction, but I'm still really amazed and confused by the reaction of the East Wing renovations. Here's Tim Walz making a, you know, buffoon out of himself as usual.
They are choosing to prioritize. And when the White House press secretary said the top priority is the ballroom, we could not disagree more. Quit scapegoating people who are hungry and making up stories that are not true.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where a guy like Tim Walz gets to lie and no one keeps a check on him, because he's trying to quote Carolyn from the briefing room, where she did not say that building the ballroom was a top priority, but she was responding to a question about priorities with renovations. So she's specifically talking about that issue.
In addition to the ballroom and the Rose Garden patio, is the president looking at any other renovations or significant kind of projects here at the White House?
Not to my knowledge, no, but he's a builder at heart. Clearly. And so his heart and his mind is always churning about how to improve things here on the White House grounds. But at this moment in time, of course, the ballroom is really the president's main priority.
Yeah, the main priority for the building, for making changes. That's all it was. But they want to make all this other stuff up. Miranda Devine, who's been a guest on the show several times, had a great column about this today, saying that the TDS, the Trump Derangement Syndrome, which is very real, all you have to do is open up Facebook, has morphed into something far more lethal, Trump Projection Disorder. And she starts by saying, and I don't think there's any disagreement here, the Democrats have lost their minds. This time last year, think about this, the conversation was about what is the acceptable number of apartment complexes in Colorado that we can tolerate being taken over by Venezuelan gangs of illegal migrants. Now the big issue is, that's not a bad point, by the way, the president's big, beautiful ballroom. The No Kings folk are melting down. This is stunning when you look at the numbers here. In just 2 days last week, she wrote, there were 10,000 comments on the Washington Post website railing against the ballroom, which is being built at a cost of zero to the taxpayers. See, I mentioned this too because I saw this stuff on Facebook, and I usually hold my fingers back and I do not type responses, but I couldn't help myself because some of my lefty friends were literally losing their minds. And she points out, someone who called herself Cindy in the suburbs wrote, I can't wait for the day they hold Trump's funeral in that gaudy ballroom. That's unbelievable, right? But as she points out, if you thought TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, was bad in the president's first term, you ain't seen nothing yet. This time around, it's morphed into something far more lethal, like a wounded animal that's been cornered. Electorally challenged Democrats are desperate and dangerous. They make TDS look like a quaint affection, and they do. And I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 years, because this isn't going to go away, right? In the spirit of, if you can't beat them, join them, they're trying to imitate Trump, but they're imitating a foul-mouthed cartoon villain version of the Hitlerian dictator that they have convinced themselves he is. TDS Redux, Miranda wrote, has become Trump disorder. Everything they've accused him of being, they've now become, Nazi tattoos and all. And this is great, right? So you got this guy in Maine. I haven't really covered this. They're running a Senate candidate who had a skull and crossbones Nazi death symbol literally tattooed on his chest, right? And Graham Planter is his name, describing himself as an Antifa super soldier and reportedly recruited and trained members of far-left paramilitary groups. And he's leading by double digits in Maine. So Miranda's point was, look, while Democrats and their media handmaidens try to portray Graham as I'm not a secret Nazi, as plain-spoken, MAGA-coated Maine oyster farmer, he's just the usual sham impersonator. In fact, he's a child of privilege who attended the Hotchkiss School, a boarding prep school in Connecticut, where tuition costs more than $75,000 a year. But as Miranda Devine wrote, the party that launched cancel culture is standing by him. This is quite something. It really is something. And I haven't really talked about this issue in Maine because we were talking about everything that happened with Jay Jones in Virginia. But this has been one of those stories that's gotten a little attention nationwide as well. Bernie Sanders says the Nazi tattoo is a distraction. He says, I think what we've got to do as a nation is not focus on a tattoo. Now, Planter's excuse is he didn't know it was a Nazi symbol. We have many people who are now speaking freely to reporters that say, oh, he knew. He knew it a long time ago, and he wore it, you know, proudly. He is currently 34 points ahead of the governor of Maine, Janet Mills, who opened her big mouth. You remember that on the topic of immigration. And I'm pretty sure that Donald Trump projected and predicted her political future, which apparently is going to come true because she's behind by 34 points. But then in Virginia, you have Jay Jones running as an attorney general who said he wanted to murder a Republican lawmaker and his small children. So that was okay, and that was defended. No big deal. I don't remember The View having a big discussion about that because he's still on the ticket. He is still on the ticket to be the top cop along with Abigail Spanberger, who won't say a bad word about him, let alone disavow his candidacy. And I don't know Virginia politics particularly well, but I'm shocked and really kind of saddened that Spanberger still has a lead. She's got like a 7-8 point lead over Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor. And this is what I love. There's two women in this race, right? There's a white woman, Spanberger, and there's a black woman, Winsome Earl Sears, who's awesome. I love her so much. Got to know her when she ran with Glenn Youngkin. She won. She wrote a book. Really, really inspirational, really special. The NAACP is backing the white woman, not the black woman in the race, because she's a Republican. And then we can't forget about New York. New York, most likely to become the mayor, proudly with a radical imam and purported unindicted co-conspirator in the 93 World Trade Center bombing, who has called for jihad in garbage can America ever since. This is Mondami and some of the things that he stands for. So this guy that Miranda is referring to, Mamdani has called him a pillar of the community in his social media post. But the Democrat socialist has been shedding crocodile tears all week because he caught a little blowback for his embrace of a terror apologist 24 years after 9/11. So he says Islamophobia is something that is endemic to politics across this country. As we've seen it normalized, we have seen it accepted. So he basically, as Miranda DeMine said, He pointed a giant middle finger to all New Yorkers who died on 9/11. But somehow, Zohram Mamdani is the victim. And by the way, the only other victim of 9/11 he bothered mentioning in his post was an aunt who he claimed stopped taking the subway after 9/11 because she didn't feel safe in her hijab. And this is the guy that's going to run New York City. Gosh, I can't wait. I will say this, and this is the same case with Cori Bush. It gives me a lot of material. A lot.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, well, I'm going to do baseball related. We still love baseball. Even the Cardinals are not going to be in the postseason for, what, a decade or so. But this was quite something last night in the 18th inning.
Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the clock strikes midnight. Freeman has ended it.
Well, closer to 2 a.m. here in the Midwest, but this is my my favorite last night. So they're in the locker room. They're asking Mookie Betts a question of the Dodgers.
When you go to bed tonight, put your head on the pillow tonight, what will you think about Shohei? Will you think about Freddie? What jumps out at you?
I'm probably not going to think about another man while I'm in bed.
Fair enough.
That was a little hard to hear because I try not to think about another man when I'm in bed. I thought that was a great answer. It's Ohtani on the mound tonight. And the Dodgers have taken a lead in this series. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.